The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. It's a bit of a party atmosphere here today, at least for some of us anyway. Not for Gad Marcotti, who will be joining us in a moment. But we've got Stevie, who's got something to celebrate. Casey, Ale, and Frank LeBoeuf will also be with us as well. But we'll start with World Cup qualifying, as we've been doing all week. And in Group C, well, it was the decider today of who would finish top between Switzerland and Italy. Switzerland did their part with a 4-0 win over Bulgaria. Italy didn't manage to score any goals away to Northern Ireland, and now they're going to have to go through the playoff route once again. Gad Marcotti, should Italy have even let it come to this?
No, they shouldn't. There's no question about it. The two penalties that they missed in the two games against Switzerland, the draw with Bulgaria, it should have never come down to this. And frankly, on the night, Northern Ireland were really, really good. Italy started brightly. They had a ton of possession in the second half. They created nothing. Northern Ireland got stronger as the game went on. They could have even won it. You know, Connor Washington at the end had a chance right on the goal line. I think though, even if Italy had won this game, Switzerland, you know, they scored four. They could have scored eight, frankly, tonight. They had several goals disallowed and whatnot. And all kudos to Switzerland. Let's not forget, this is a Switzerland team without a whole bunch of players from Granit Xhaka to Akanji to Seferovic to Ricardo Rodriguez. They had a ton of absentees. So really, I don't think that Azzurri can have any excuses whatsoever.
No excuses at all come March, Ale. They cannot miss another World Cup, a team like Italy.
No, absolutely not. But when you're a team that has had ample opportunities to get to the World Cup in this qualifying cycle, and you haven't been able to do so, and then the recent history of what happened in 2018 or going towards 2018, then those things start creeping in, and that doubt starts creeping in, and that pressure. You know the pressure is going to be full on Italy, and yes, they should be favorites against whomever they play in the playoff, and yet, they should have been favorites against Northern Ireland today. And they were not able to win that game. And they were favorites against Bulgaria at home. And they did not win that game. And they were favorites against Switzerland. And they did not win that game. So now all that doubt starts building. And they have to wait until March with all of these questions, all of this doubt, all of that pressure building up. Good luck.
Do you know what, Gab? Afterwards, you may have seen this. Mancini said on Rai, we've got these games coming in March. We'll go to the World Cup. We might even win it. That doesn't sound like doubts from Mancini to me, despite what's happened.
Yeah, and look, I totally take on board what Ali's saying, but I think it's a slightly different landscape now as far as the Azzurri are concerned. I mean, they are the champions of Europe. That's taken a lot of pressure off. And the reality is, you know, all these teams are going to go back to their clubs now, and I don't think they're going to be thinking about the World Cup for the next 3 months. In some ways, that's going to be a natural depressurizer. And then when they come back, they'll play in the playoffs, and they'll either screw it up like they did against Sweden, or they'll advance and go to the World Cup. But if there is one positive about being European champion and having your players, you know, playing and club football being so important in this day and age, it's that, you know, they're not going to be sitting around for 3 months stewing about their mistakes. I think they're going to start worrying about this when it gets to March.
Frank, how excited are you to see Italy go through the playoff route?
As a French guy, I don't know. It's not very interesting. I don't. As a French person, I don't really care. I'm disappointed, in fact, because we saw so many good things coming out of that squad, you know, during the Euro that I couldn't find in the two last games that they played. It's not I think it's mostly because some players are missing as well. When I think about one player missing a lot, I think about Verratti. Who is really the leader of in the middle of the park, and they couldn't find a transition against the Swiss when they played at home the last game. And today they were nowhere near it because I think they don't have a real leader in the middle. So that was the main concern that they have, that they have to find back to in order for them to qualify for the World Cup.
What about Jorginho's chances to win the Ballon d'Or, Casey? There's been a lot of talk about that.
Really?
Yes, really.
Look, obviously, good player, good team, good everything that comes around with this Italian team. But we talked about it during the Euros that, you know, this was a team that didn't have world superstars. And they found a way to come together and have this camaraderie, which then drove them to the championship. Well, sometimes when the going gets tough in a game like Northern Ireland, you need that world superstar to step up and get you that goal that you need. And it was lacking.
Gab?
No, I agree. The one thing, though, I go back to this is they didn't need one goal. They would have needed three goals based on what we saw tonight. And it was never going to happen because... And I have to give credit to Northern Ireland here because it was a dead rubber for them. But afterwards, their manager, Ian Bearcliff, came out and said, you know, others may say it's a dead rubber. Our players don't know what that means. They want to win. They want these scalps. And Northern Ireland really made it impossible. I think it would have taken multiple world-class players getting you a goal out of nothing on the night, not just one.
Stevie, not good enough, surely, for the Euro 2020 champions.
Listen, Gab started this whole thing by saying that it wasn't just in this game against Northern Ireland why they're not going through. And the truth is, ever since the Euros, ever since the final, there has been no spark about Italy. The thing we loved, certainly I loved about Italy during the Euros, was they were exciting going forward. There was a certain dynamism about them. That has disappeared. And if you needed any proof of that, you saw it in this game. You talk about walking from Donnarumma to probably 30 yards from the Irish goal. No surprise the Irish can defend because the pace of the game was just non-existent. And in my opinion, Italy are far better when they're playing at a pace and they're dynamic. And it just hasn't been there since the Euros, so it's not a shock.
Is goal scoring a concern then, Gab?
I mean, look, Ciro Immobile wasn't there, so people thought that he's the problem all the time. Obviously, wait, it's kind of like, hey, hold my beer, and here's Belotti, you know, it gets even worse. I don't think it's a problem. They've always created a lot of chances, I think, up until this game. In this game, they had some chances the first half, very few afterwards. Sure, if Zaniolo had been out there or Pellegrini, then, you know, maybe we wouldn't be having this conversation right now. But... And you can go back and you can ask yourself, well, what if Mancini had chucked on, you know, a guy like Scamacca rather than Belotti the second half? I don't think it's as simple as like, you know, oh, there's no Lewandowski, there's no Kane, and therefore it's a problem. I mean, this team has no problem creating chances and no real problem creating goals. If, and that's the big if, as Stevie said, they're playing with that spark, with that intensity that they showed at the Euros. If they don't do that, then they can play 2 miles an hour all day. Northern Ireland can sit deep and they'll struggle to create anything outside of Federico Chiesa.
Frank?
Kay. Yes, I think, yeah, we can try to find and to try to explain why Italy are going to the playoffs. But we have to take into account that the fact that they've been beaten by Switzerland, who got 18 points for a reason. I think they are a real team. I think we have to give credit to that team. You know, the team who kicked out the world champion during the European Championship, and now putting Italy into playoffs. You know, the former European champion. So it's everything but a miracle what we see. I think it's a very good team, and we have to consider Switzerland not just like a surprise, but also like a confirmation of a very good team.
Did you just realize that Frank somehow, in a conversation about Italy and Switzerland, made it about France? He just did. France somehow became the main topic of the conversation.
not for a good reason, you know, not for an excuse. So.
Guess what I'm about to do? Huh? I'm about to make it about England.
Of course you are.
Yeah, Group I, England were out to secure qualification, and they scored 10 goals against San Marino, and they managed to ensure that they will be taking automatic.
How's that goal differential for San Marino doing?
Plus 36 for England there, minus 45 for San Marino. Harry Kane with 4 goals on the day. Conte's got to be happy to see Harry Kane getting those goals under his belt, though. I tell you what, banning ketchup may have helped Harry Kane catch up with his time this season.
Are you serious?
I mean, I told you it was a party atmosphere.
You know what? It looks good on.
Hey.
It looks good. Hey. It looks good on
paper.
Seeing
the proofs in the
pudding.
It looks
good in black and white. But if you say to Harry Kane in 10 years' time, oh, do you remember those 4 goals he scored against San Marino? Oh, did I?
But what about the graphics?
Remember them.
The graphics.
What about the graphics?
Stevie, we told you to stop banning ketchup.
What did they
would pay dividends.
Did they pour tomato sauce on the ball so he would chase after it faster? is that was it? Yeah.
Oh, man.
Ali, as a goal scorer, is it a good sign if goals haven't come so easy this season? If even if it is against a lower opposition, going back into the Premier League, will this help Harry Kane?
No. However, it's always great to score goals. Always. As a striker, or even not as a striker, it's always great to score goals. And you feel a whole lot better about yourself when you're scoring goals. But then you play against a different type of opposition, and then things are not nearly as easy as they were in the midweek against San Marino, and then you realize, we're back to business. Can I carry this momentum into playing in the Premier League? That's a big question, and obviously the difference in competition is too noticeable. I don't think it makes a difference as to whether he's able to score a goal this weekend. However, it does make a difference to how well he feels and how great he feels and how comfortable he was probably eating ketchup while he was with the national team.
I don't believe it.
What?
He follows all the rules, does Harry Kane. Gab, is there absolutely anything we can take away from this?
I think very little, other than the fact that, again, how the game has changed. I think with those 4 goals, Harry Kane is now up to 48, I believe, for England, which means he's level with Gary Lineker, 1 behind Bobby Charlton and 5 behind Wayne Rooney, of all people. So, and of course, as you mentioned, unless you want to give Conte credit, you know, he scored 10 goals this season for England, and a total of 7 in all competitions, including 3 against something called Mora in the Europa Conference for Spurs.
In Group F, Denmark took on Scotland. The Danes were perfect coming into this game, but the Scots managed to beat them 2-0.
Of course we did.
Hey.
And they will be taking the playoff route. They've also secured home advantage in the playoffs after that win. A 2-0 it finished, and Stevie actually has a smile on his face.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match. With Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. All right, let's talk about Zlatan Ibrahimovic, because he got a yellow for this. So he's suspended for his first playoff game. But the question is, should it have been a red? Now, it's a shoulder charge on Azpilicueta, but there is a little bit of a push from Busquets as well.
It's
on
an
him.
Assault is what it is. Not a shoulder charge. He absolutely blindsides him and hits him.
Should he have been sent off?
Absolutely. You can't just go and blindside somebody and smash them in the back. I mean, it's assault.
Yeah, any time that's intentional is when the red starts coming out. And that was about as intentional as intentional gets.
Well, what gave it away? The fact that he gave him the old, here you go, pass him.
And then I fall on top of you?
Yeah, and then, what happened here? Oh, what happened? Did somebody push me? I don't know. I couldn't tell.
And you're the biggest guy on the pitch.
Absolutely. Yeah. This is 100% a red card. And by the way, it's this. Boom. That movement there, he knows full well what he's doing.
Do that again.
Boom. You want it again?
No, that's good.
Oh, okay. All
yeah, right. You get caught. You take your medicine, and deservedly he's not going to be able to play in the next game.
But it was just a yellow in the end. Frank, will he be a big miss, do you think? Is it a presence like Zlatan always good to have in a game like this, a playoff?
Of course. He attracts, you know, the attention and maybe allows the others to make the difference. So, of course, it's going to be a big miss. He's going to be, of course, somebody that would love to have with him, you know. But he deserved the red card, especially because he pushed down, you know, the captain of Chelsea. Are you crazy or what?
Now, some people are kind of going crazy about the idea of Zlatan coming back to the national team and now Sweden struggling and losing as they did against Georgia. Look, Zlatan coming in and Sweden losing are two separate things. And I would just say that Zlatan Ibrahimovic has nothing to do with Victor Lindelof being unable to tackle somebody as he did in the second goal for Georgia. And the way that Sweden play against Spain, they had their chances. They had their moments. Spain wasn't all that great, and they had their moments. And it wasn't Zlatan's fault that they did not score the goal. So let's not go crazy and say, well, see, this is why Zlatan should not be back in the national team. He is a player that in a moment can resolve an issue for you. He's not going to carry the whole team like he once did, but he can resolve an issue for you. So in a playoff, yes, he'll be missed.
But if he's bought in to be 10 minutes when you need him, there's a lot of defenders that really do not want to go in the 82nd minute and have that big lump come on. So, he can definitely help them at some stage.
Yeah, okay. Well, there's more talk about the qualifying on the latest Gab and Jules podcast and, of course, more from Gab Marcotti too. Make sure to download that wherever you get your podcasts, and you can get this twice a week.
Wow. What a nice shirt.
Okay, USA's win over Mexico move them to the top of the standings here in CONCACAF qualifying. The two are now tied on 14 points each. The US will finish this World Cup window tomorrow night against Jamaica. And so, predictions, please. Ooh. That's where we're going with this one. And this is what we've got. Stevie, you're going for a US win, as is Herc, as is LA. And Seb's got to be a bit different, hasn't he?
Oh, he can't do it. He can't do it.
Casey, what's your prediction?
Obviously, what I would like to happen and what I think is going to happen are two different things. But I think a draw is sufficient. I think a draw is going to be. I think it's going to be tough to take away that emotional high of the big win against Mexico. Go down there. We know that it's a very desperate Jamaican side after conceding that last-minute goal against El Salvador. They got their big couple of their big boys have decided to show up and be a part of the camp, and it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for the U.S. So I think again, I'm guessing a slow start, some adjustments at halftime, and find a way to get a point.
That's much more about this on Football America's, the latest episode with Seb and Herc. Did drop today, and maybe you will hear from Seb as to why he thinks it's going to be 1-1.
He's an angry little guy, that's
maybe
why.
Maybe we'll find out a little bit more about that. All right, here's a look at Group G in CAF qualifying. Ghana squeezing through to the third round after a controversial penalty saw them defeat South Africa, but South Africa are demanding a replay. The South Africa chief executive of the FA, Tobogo Motlanthe, said the match officials have decided the game. We feel very much robbed. And there's no VAR in CAF, and it just talks about consistency across things, but here is the moment.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, and that decides it right there. That's, yeah, that's painful. Yeah, we talked about this yesterday, and it's tough when you have a situation like that that can decide your opportunity to go to a World Cup or not. But, I mean, there has been precedent before in Africa where they've replayed matches, but I don't think in this scenario, you know, I think a bad call is a bad call, and you kind of have to deal with it if you don't have VAR.
Unless you have some tangible proof.
Correct. Yes.
That there's been some sort of match fixing, that the referee is involved in it, then there's very little argument here. It's the human error part of the game and a human error part of a referee. Again, unless you find proof that says somehow this referee was involved in some sort of side business, then I don't know what the recourse is for South Africa.
Yeah, this moment actually left them level on points in the group and even on goal difference, but Ghana's extra goal, which is 7-6 over South Africa, was the tiebreaker that sends them through to the next round. Now, as Casey mentioned, there are precedents. South Africa alone were involved in one, but FIFA are usually opposed to replays. Remember, Republic of Ireland and France, Thierry Henry's handball. Gab?
Okay, well, I mean, I think Thierry Henry's handball for you know, much of all my love, and all the requests for a replay, that was a technical mistake like this one. Ali's absolutely right. I think there have only been two replays, actually. In one was a situation that did happen in Africa, and that was a situation where a referee was a judge to actually have taken a bribe. And that game was replayed. The other one was a qualifier involving Uzbekistan, I believe, a few years ago, I think against Bahrain. And there the referee simply made a very serious technical error, but not an error of judgment, an error where he just applied the rules he applied the rules incorrectly, and he disallowed a goal which should have stood following a penalty. So those are the only two situations. This situation's different. Unless they can prove that something untoward happened with the referee, that he was tampered with somehow. But unless you bring that evidence, I don't see how you could possibly replay this game.
So that's how.
If we replayed every game where referees were incompetent, we'd never finish a season. So, there you go.
So that's how it is. Frankie, like that.
Well, but then it still gets to the point. CAF, why has CONCACAF, why have they not gotten VAR sorted out at this stage? They've had plenty of time to do it. It's not like a league where you have 18 stadiums to sort out. You can say to the federation, what stadium are you having qualifying in? Okay, let's sort this out. Let's have a central location for our VAR officials and take care of it. But for some reason, it seems to be difficult.
Well, go on, Guy.
No, I just want to say that there are some technological hurdles and stuff, and there is a level of expense. They could have done it. Obviously, Africa has multiple stages. They could have done it from this group stage or for the final stage. They decided that the thinking was, no, we either have it in the whole competition, which is too expensive and difficult, or we don't have it at all. They didn't like the idea of inserting it halfway through. Personally, I disagree with it. I think, you know, apply VAR where you can get it. And if you do it stage by stage, that's fine. That's how it was introduced to the Champions League, if you recall, where it was actually introduced in the knockout phase of a competition when it was introduced, 3-4 years ago or whenever it was.
Oh, let's take a look at how things are standing when it does come to qualification in the CAF stand-ins. Well, Frank, go on. What, did you want to say something about that?
Yeah. The thing is, I don't think he's going to be replayed because, for one reason, you have to be sure, you know, in that matter, that there is an exaggeration on what the attacking did compared to what the defender did. But we don't see on the picture that the defender doesn't hold the shirt of the attacking. So I don't know if you can be 100% sure that the guy behind the attacker is not making a foul. So therefore, I don't think they're going to replay it. It's sad because it should be, I agree with the guys, should have a VAR everywhere in the world. But when you see the action, you see the guy behind, you know, putting his hands out of the shirt after, you know. So maybe he was putting it a little bit, and then he let it go. But it was too late. And of course, you have the stupid exaggeration. But it could be a foul.
Can you explain to me the blue card?
No, I wasn't able to explain it last night.
Okay.
I'm not
I thought maybe you had
today.
Figured that
yeah,
out.
I tried. I did a bit of research, but no.
Okay.
No blue card stuff there.
Gotcha.
Okay, take a look at how things do stand in CAF qualifying so far. These are the nations that are through to the final round. DR Congo, Egypt, Ghana, Mali, Morocco and Senegal. And there are more big head-to-head clashes coming up on Tuesday. In Group A, Algeria on a 32-match undefeated streak. They are up against Burkina Faso, as you see, just behind them. Burkina Faso must beat them to pip them to the playoffs. And ESPN Plus will have all of these games for you. In Group C, another big showdown. These two facing off, Nigeria and Cape Verde, in this game. Nigeria heavy favourites, but the visitors are in search of a major upset in this one, and they can jump ahead of them in the table with that. In Group D, Cameroon and Ivory Coast facing off Tuesday. I told you, lots of head-to-heads here. But like the Highlander, there can only be one. Ivory Coast have the one-point advantage. Cameroon have the home advantage. That is a massive game to check out on ESPN+. And in Group B, three teams can still progress, although Zambia would have it all to do. Tunisia must beat Zambia to guarantee they'll go through to the next round. But you cannot rule out Equatorial Guinea in their game. The two sides, as you see at the top, are level on points. And I'll tell you what, Tuesday's games are not to be missed on ESPN+. Tuesday's matches in CONMEBOL World Cup qualifying. The small matter of Argentina-Brazil. I remember you guys, two of you getting riled up with Dan Thomas the other day to do with the Lionel Messi situation.
Well, 3 points for Peru.
Hey, what's your problem? What did I do? Scotland win a couple of games and now all of a sudden you're going to win the whole thing, right?
A win for Argentina and things are looking good, Ale.
Yeah, Argentina, they're going to qualify. And of course, this is a big game. Remember that this is a game that was abandoned earlier in the qualifying rounds. In terms of the standings, it doesn't get any bigger than Colombia against Paraguay as well as Ecuador against Chile. You look at the Colombia-Paraguay game, neither one of these teams, Colombia nor Paraguay, have scored a goal in their last four matches. They're going to Colombia to play. I don't know that Paraguay is going to score, but Colombia better score. These teams need to start getting some points. It's a must-win for Colombia at home, and you would imagine that at some point the trend is going to break and Colombia will score a goal. But as I said, last four matches for both of these teams, no goals. In terms of Chile, they were left for dead. And by left for dead, I mean they were holding hands with Venezuela. They were hanging out. Yeah, sitting on the couch. Good old friends, good old buddies. And all of a sudden, Chile puts a run together. They won three in a row, and now they find themselves in the position that they're in. Uruguay seems to be slipping, and Ecuador, who seemed to be going in the wrong direction, well, what did they do? They played against Venezuela. They won that game. 3 points. Now they're far more comfortable. But Chile, it just shows you, in CONMEBOL, you get a couple of results in a row, you're going to jump a lot of people. That's what Chile has done, and now they're in a comfortable position.
3 through 6. Who's likely to miss out, do you think, in this?
Wow. I'm going to say Chile. I think at some point Chile is going to come back. And I think Colombia gets in, Uruguay gets in, and Ecuador hangs on to the position that they're in right now.
Okay. All to be played for. And Ali will have all the latest on the CONMEBOL qualifying and how those standings shape up. And maybe we'll even have some questions on it in the latest edition of Extra Time. It's a full house as well. Everybody will be with us to answer your questions. And we've got lots of them as well. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, that will do it for the latest edition of the show. We got through it. Everybody managed to say something.
Were you worried?
I was a little bit worried. Yeah. It's the first time I've ever had this many in the studio. Anyway, we did it. Join us for Extra Time next. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Well, there's lots of us. Casey, Alex,
it's the crew.
Gav, and Frank. Frank, first question is for you. Why won't Zidane take the Manchester United job? He's coached excellent players like Ronaldo and Varane before. He's wanted to coach Pogba. And Madrid had interest in signing Donny van de Beek when he was Madrid manager. It seems like the dream job for any competent manager.
Well, really, I'm not sure about that, but if you look at the Manchester United history and the big club it is, yes, you might want to go, but you have to look at the state of the club right now, and I'm not sure that the level that Zidane wants to see before going there. And on top of it, I'm not Zidane, so I cannot really answer and know exactly what he thinks, but I never thought that Zidane wanted to have a long career. He had an opportunity to become a coach in Real Madrid and has been absolutely fantastic. He might have gone to Juventus Turin. He might go for the national team position, but I don't see him going anywhere else. I don't think it's will. I think he wants to live in Madrid right now. He wants to have his days off, and he doesn't want to go to the north of England. That's why maybe he doesn't go there.
Pretty much exactly what Jules said as well. Gab, should UEFA change the format for their qualifiers rather than big teams wasting time facing the smaller teams?
Well, given I come from a country of, 62, 63 million, and we played a country of 1.8 million in Northern Ireland, I'd argue yeah, but no. No, look, this comes up time and again in pre-qualifying and so on. And my take is, guys, it's two games against San Marino. Deal with it. I think what was really important is that they have the Nations League so that countries like this can develop and play against teams that, you know, are kind of their equals, and that's how they grow. But they also want to play the big teams, you know, once in a while. And I don't really see this whole upset about making them pre-qualify. You make them pre-qualify, they're going to end up playing fewer matches. They're going to develop even less. I just don't see the point of this. I mean, you see this in other confederations where they have pre-qualifying, where, you know, the tiny teams, you know, they go into their pre-qualifying, they get thumped, and then that's it. And then they hardly play until, you know, the next World Cup or continental competition comes around. And I don't think that's right either.
I don't think I've heard many people complaining about the European setup. Listen, I had a problem with expanding the World Cup, so
well,
that
there's definitely
he ended up with
complain.
Well, but how do these teams get a chance then? So yeah. As far as the qualifiers,
exactly.
I think the way is fantastic. Oh, I'm against the expanding the World Cup, but for the qualifiers, no.
If these clubs can, or these countries, these smaller countries, can still put out a group of guys knowing that they have the potential of getting beat 10-0 by England. But Stevie, you were telling me a story that in Scotland, you guys struggled one time to beat San Marino. So, I mean, think of what that meant to the San Marino players to push you guys as hard as you could. I mean, so it's like their little World Cup.
It might link to the next question, actually, in the end. And I have a feeling that Ali and Casey might have some good answers for this one. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow night's Mexico-Canada game in Edmonton is supposed to be minus 10 Celsius nice. With a chance of snow. Mm-hmm. What are the worst conditions you've played in during your career, Casey?
I had a UEFA Cup game against Lokomotiv Moscow in November where it was minus 20 and the pitch was like that. And guess what? It was nil-nil. Nobody was interested.
But you kept a clean sheet.
I did. But the one thing I remember is it was when I was playing for Rio. Come in at halftime, the kit man had a big block of paraffin that he put in the garbage can and lit a fire in the locker room. And all the Spanish guys were huddled around a fire. And the German player and I looked at this and just went, we've seen everything now.
Oh, wow.
There's a campfire in the locker room for the Spanish guys to get warm.
Ale?
Well, we had this question a couple of days ago. I'll just revisit. We played in the middle of summer, ESPN Soccer Saturday, as it was called back then, and 3 o'clock kickoff in Dallas, and it was hot could be, and we were playing in turf. The Cotton Bowl was getting remodeled at the time, and it was black turf, and it was just attracting the heat and radiating heat as well. So when we were running on the turf, eventually, you could feel that the shoes, the bottom of our shoes, were melting. Now, you prepare for a lot of things in your life as a player. Right. You don't prepare for the fact that you go into halftime, look at the bottom of your shoes, and they're melting. The material is gone. And so, what do you do? Of course, you put on a different pair of shoes, but it's quite a realization that it's that hot out there that my shoes are melting. There's something wrong with that.
All right, so this one was up the other day. Frank, were you on the show the other day when that question was asked?
No, I don't think so, no.
Do you have a tale to tell us?
Yes, I had the chance to play for Strasbourg for 5 years. So every year, because the field wasn't heated during the winter time, I had to play, you know, like two or three games on the half frozen field on the length, meaning that the left side was frozen and the right side was unfrozen because of the sun during the daytime. And so we had to play at 8 p.m. And as a sweeper, I was being in the middle. It was quite a nightmare because on the left side, I was doing ice skating on the right side, I was doing like a muddy game. So, but I that's what it was. It was really a nightmare. And most of the time, as Casey said, we drew nil-nil.
It actually is a point. We played East Germany in the under-21s when it was behind Iron Curtain. And there was almost about a foot of snow on the field, and there's no way the game wasn't being played. But what they did was, they dug out the lines.
Right.
So they so we were playing up here, but all the lines had been dug out all the way around the field, and you're like, how about just clear the snow off?
The lines.
Just the lines.
Any little dips, any little falls?
Oh, you've got
that. Yeah, you're lifting it, trying to lift the ball. Yeah.
All right, Ale, why are media ignoring Argentina's unbeaten run? They are not being the credit. They are not being given the credit for the turnaround.
What media is ignoring Argentina? Does Lionel Messi not play for Argentina? All the coverage that you get in South America and CONMEBOL qualifiers start with two teams, Brazil and Argentina. And whether they're doing well or not, that is the first topic of conversation. And then it filters down to the rest. So Argentina have been given the credit they deserve in the sense that they won Copa America. We've talked about that long and hard for a long period of time. There's no question that Argentina are playing a different style than what they have been in the past. They are far more focused on defending first and then allowing the talented players in the attack to create one or two opportunities. That's how they won Copa America. And if indeed they're going to be a team that is going to contend for the World Cup, they'll do the same thing in Qatar. And that is, they'll defend well, they'll be physical through the midfield, and then hope that Di Maria or Messi or Lautaro Martinez or somebody does something special in the attacking half.
Physical in midfield?
Yeah.
You ever been kicked by an Argentinian player before?
Yeah, in the midfield, and well, and whenever we actually attacked Argentina, yes, I got kicked there too.
Stevie, who is worse, Fernando Santos or Ole Gunnar Solskjaer? Both have great attacking talents, but don't seem to know how to use them.
Well, that's the easiest question of the day.
Okay.
Count the trophies. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's all he got. Santos? European champions, right?
Okay, so that excuses everything else. Because then you could say that Ole
Gunnar... It doesn't excuse every single other thing, but the question is, who's the better of the two? One's got a European championship under his belt, and the other one's got...
All right. but one has got a playoff route to go through as well now to try and get to the World Cup.
Yeah, but if you look, hold on a second. Let me get, hold on. I'll just look up the record books here. Page 46.
It's short for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
European champions. I'll go to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer page. Oh, there's not a page.
Gav, help me out.
Ollie's not got a page.
Wait. Stevie, you're not impressed with the I'm pretty sure Ole won a couple Norwegian titles when he was at Molde. But does that not balance out the European championship that Fernando Santos won?
European championship.
Also, Fernando Santos is what?
No, not quite.
He's 15 years older. Why don't you give Ole another 15 years and see if he catches up with Fernando Santos, right?
Tell you what,
he's got a 15-year head start.
Make it fair. I'll give him 50 years.
Okay, Gab, I'm going to stick with you because you had some nice things to say about this team. Is Switzerland one of the most underrated teams at the moment? Knocking out France, qualifying over Italy, and so on and so on.
Look, they've been doing this for a while, right? They've got these players who are kind of sneakily good. I mean, you look at, again, Swiss football, you look at, and again, we can all laugh at Young Boys Bern, for example, but hey, they're there. They're in the group stages of the Champions League. It's a big deal for Switzerland. I think they have some really interesting, exciting young players coming through. Okafor from Salzburg. He scared the life out of me when he played against Italy. Did well against this weekend as well against Bulgaria. They have a great goalkeeper, and they've got a bunch of injured guys who are going to come back. So yeah, I think they're good. And as we heard earlier, you know, this is a team that knocked out France at the Euros, nearly knocked out Spain. I think you sleep on Murat Yakin's Switzerland at your peril.
Okay, Frank, who's the more likely to miss out on the World Cup, Portugal or Italy?
Well, I don't know. I think that would be a shame for any one of them, and hopefully they're gonna both be qualified. But I think I will give more chance to Italy. They are the European champion. And, you know, like always, or almost always, you know, Italy managed to get qualified. So I will go for Italy. But I think both of them will go through with another one. Maybe, let's say, Sweden and Zlatan. I want Zlatan in a World Cup.
Nice. Stevie, I get as Scots were always negative, but that's 6 wins on the spin now. So what does Stevie make of Scotland so far? Ask Sean Mullen.
We are competitive with anybody. We will compete with anybody. I'm not saying we're going to beat France if we played them tomorrow.
Are you excited again now?
Well, I watch now thinking that there's a chance that we actually might win. That's the difference. Because before, you were watching going, well, it's only a matter of time before somebody messes up, or somebody scores a great goal against us, or we miss chances. I mean, it's just, we've been doing it for years. But now, I'm actually watching going, I think we've got a chance to win this game.
Is there hope?
Absolutely.
Yep.
Oh. Now, here's a question, though. Why are you guys so negative? Because my interaction with Scots are you and Craig Burley.
Right.
So the sample size is not great. Okay.
The shiny happy people.
I can't disagree, but I don't know why.
Is it negative or is it realistic, Stevie?
I think it's probably a lot more realistic, but there's definitely a little tinge of DNA negativity there.
Right.
No question.
So if you want to go visit Scotland, do we base it upon my experiences that I've had with you and Craig, or...?
Well, no, so here's the thing.
Is there something better out there?
Here's the thing. The worst thing that can happen is we can get two Scots together.
Because we feed off it.
We feed off it. But if you get us on our own, then that's a different ballgame.
Well, if I get you on your own. I don't want to talk about people that are not here. But.
I guess Craig's not a good example. He's pretty unique.
Okay.
Craig's actually been in a great mood lately.
Wow.
Hey.
I tell you.
All right.
Brilliant.
Hey.
Pray tell.
Package that, please.
Well, watch the show and you'll see. All right. Stevie, who's the best midfielder in the Premier League currently?
Oof. Bernardo Silva.
Gallagher.
Who did he say?
Conor Gallagher.
Conor Gallagher.
Yeah, he's in Don's player power rankings for the Premier League.
Yeah, he's doing no bad. I'll be honest. I think Bernardo Silva right now is as good as anybody.
Mm. All right. Gab, who was better in their prime, Gareth Bale or Neymar Jr.?
Oh, well, I'm not. Is Neymar's prime over, or is there more to come? I think I would lean towards Neymar, simply because I think his prime lasted longer than Gareth Bale's. In the one-off game, when Gareth Bale just takes off like that, I could see he's terrible. He's, you know, really difficult to stop and whatnot. But no, I still think in the prime, if you're talking about one great game, maybe, but a prime defined as like 6 months or a year at the top of your career, I'd go with Neymar.
Frank, would you go with Neymar?
Yes, I would. For the same reasons. And on top of it, I think Gareth Bale was a beast. It was unstoppable. But Neymar, at his prime, as you said, was a genius. That's for me the difference.
Is there anybody who wouldn't say Neymar here?
No, wouldn't think so.
No.
I don't even think it's a question, to be honest with you.
No. Okay. FIFA Master, that is not a question, okay?
Yeah.
Lastly, why does Stevie disrespect the Bundesliga? He claims that Bundesliga players flop in the Premier League. Well, this is why they're saying right?
All I did was...
Yet there are players like De Bruyne, Son, Gundogan, Aubameyang and Firmino who clearly prove his point wrong. Even managers like Klopp and Pep were brought in from the Bundesliga, Stevie.
Well, why are you folding your arms?
You're so negative. Why are you so negative?
Well, see, here's the thing. Like, no offence to whoever sent this question in, but he clearly never listened to what they said.
He probably couldn't understand it.
The question that I was asked was about Manchester United specifically. And I said that there was three players who were superstars in the Bundesliga who all went to Manchester United and flopped. And I didn't know whether it was to do with the Bundesliga or whether it was to do with Man United. That's what it said.
Very sensible.
I didn't say all Bundesliga.
Yeah, I was there, and I can confirm that Nick Stevie was right. I can confirm
that
Stevie is absolutely right.
He was talking.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah,
well,
he was right because he didn't talk about Werner.
So I was just trying to illustrate the question.
Thank you, Frank.
In the style of the person who asked it. There's no name there. But Stevie doesn't disrespect the Bundesliga. He loves
not
the Bundesliga. And he'll be watching the Bundesliga when it returns at the weekend after. Qualifying is over. Anyway, thanks so much for being with us.
Keep going.
When it returns.
Somebody else does
sometime.
That.
Sometime.
In the future.
All right, that's it. Join us every day, 7 days a week.
On ESPN.
For more rambling questions
Plus.
From me on Extra Time.
Does that.